Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Shaped to Make a Difference. In these teachings, Pastor Rick uses the acrostic SHAPE, your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences, to talk about the way God wired you and why you need to not just know your shape, but use it to do the things God made you to do. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the purpose-driven life, selected thoughts and scriptures for the graduate, a hardcover book that will help the student in your life with the decisions they'll face both before and after graduation. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gifts.
There's a fourth reason why you need to know your gifts, because they shine your witness. You say, what do you mean by that, Rick? Well, Jesus said this in Matthew 5, 16. Let your light shine in front of people. Then they'll see the good that you do. That's the stuff you're shaped to do. And they will praise your Father in heaven. You see, when you use your spiritual gift, it not only makes God happy, makes you happy, it's a witness to other people. It's a testimony to other people. Sometimes you think, well, this thing called evangelism. What is evangelism? You've heard that word. Evangelism just means sharing good news. It's a Greek word. It means to share the good news. And sometimes people think evangelism, that means I got to be an evangelist. It means I got to go out and, you know, do something that doesn't feel good to me to do. And sometimes you hear about these people, it seems like everywhere they go, they're introducing people to Jesus. Every time they sit down on a plane, by the time the plane lands, the whole plane's accepted the Lord. You know? And you go, that never happens to me. I never lead anybody to Christ. Why? Because you're not using your shape. There are as many ways to tell the good news to people, to share Jesus with others, as there are shapes in the world. Spiritual gifts and abilities and heart and personality experiences. There are a million different ways to share the good news. You don't have to do it all in the same way. Mark used to be on staff at Willow Creek Community Church, and don't hold him against him that his best friend is Lee Strobel, but give him a warm welcome.
That's good. Well, I love the theme of this service because I think one of the greatest dangers in the church is that we take on an attitude that says one shape fits all. And I think if there's any area in which that is dangerous, it's this area of witness or personal evangelism. Because we tend to have a stereotypical image in our minds of what that would look like. And it's usually a very hard, bold, you know, hard-hitting, confrontational style. Sometimes even a little bit obnoxious. And we think, well, that's not me. And just to let you know, I can relate to that concern. Let me just tell you a story. I went a number of years ago over to England. I signed up kind of naively for a summer tour of duty without quite knowing what I was getting into. And I showed up, I was all green, I was all enthusiastic, and boy, what are we going to do? And I met the team captain. And this guy was just a little bit too enthusiastic because I said, what are we going to do? He said, I'm glad you asked. Said, oh, okay. Well, what are we going to do? And he said, we're going to go out every morning early. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to tell people about Jesus. I said, all day? He said, it's going to be great. And I thought, oh boy, that sounds great. And I was just wrestling with this because I knew this is not my shape. This is not what God made. I don't have the temperament for knocking on doors of strangers. In fact, let me just tell you something. Maybe you're not aware of this, but Americans fresh out of Heathrow Airport in London, England, knocking on doors of strangers to tell them about Jesus is not a real popular thing in British culture. They didn't swing the door open and say, ah, Americans, Jesus, great, tell me, you know. They didn't do that. It wasn't like that. It was more like, what are you doing here? Oh, you're from America. When are you going back? They did not want to talk to us in most cases, and it was tough. And I got through the first day, and I said, got through that. You know, what are we doing tomorrow? He said, I'm glad you asked. We're going out again. And it's like, shut up, you know? But we did this, and we did it day after day for, count them, 8 weeks. That was my response, too. And when it was over, I went home, and I said, that's it. It's over. I'm done with this evangelism thing. This is not me. It does not fit who I am. It's not what God designed me to do. And so next time someone gets all fired up and tries to recruit someone for an evangelistic tour of duty or adventure somewhere, I'm just going to look him in the eye and say, look, I've done my time. I already did that. So, you know, look, I'll pray for you when you go. I'll support you. You know, I'll write a check to help meet the expenses. But don't ask me to do this. This is not my deal. Now, you may find it funny, as I did, and I think God did, that a year after deciding this is not my deal, I was hired as the director of evangelism at this large church in Chicago. Full time. This is what I'm going to do. And the question is, what happened? You know, what changed in your thinking? And let me tell you what it was. I went to a church service at that church and heard the pastor get up and teach from the Bible. And what he taught was, you know, one shape does not fit all when it comes to sharing your faith. That you don't have to force yourself in a mold that doesn't fit you. In fact, he held up the Bible and he said, I got good news. Even in the pages of the scriptures, there's a diversity of approaches. Now, that was good news to me that day. And then he went on to teach, and I want to just click through the examples he gave, and I hope that this would be liberating to you the way it was to me, because if you're a follower of Christ, you, like I, are called to share your faith. The question is, how are you going to do it? So let me give you some examples. See if you don't relate to some of these. Let me give you the first one. I'm going to come over here to Jerusalem. And this is Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. And the person here is Peter, and he stood up and he took the confrontational approach to evangelism, which means very direct, very bold. Here's what he did. He said, look, God sent his Messiah, you killed him, and you're in big trouble. Capital C confrontation. Very bold and direct, but God used it. And if you know the story, 3,000 people were cut to the quick and that day became followers of Christ. And the point is, Peter was being Peter. He was being who God shaped him to be, and God used it. And here's the other point. Some of you are like Peter. You're very direct, you're hard-hitting, you like to make a point, and God can use you in a powerful way. Now, this is not my style, but it is the one God used to reach me when I was 19 years old. And I'd just like to unleash those of you with this style to reach people for Christ. Now, don't hurt people, but spread the message. Now, let me give you a second example. I'll come over here to Athens, Greece, to the philosophers in the crowd. And now I'm Paul. And now we're in Acts 17, and Paul took the intellectual style. He reasoned with them. He presented logic and evidence to show them, to prove to them that Christianity is true. And that was natural to Paul. That was his shape. And God used that. And a bunch of those philosophers ended up becoming followers of Jesus as a result of that intellectual style. And some of you, like Paul, can reason and use logic to show people that Christianity is true. And I hope there's a bunch of you, because really, out of the six styles, this is the most important of all the styles. Really, this is the most godly of all the styles. Really, this is my style too, so. All right, maybe it's not the most important style, but it is a very important one. We live in a secular culture that wants to know why we believe what we believe. And some of you can reach people with answers, and that's your style, that's your shape. I love the third one. It's the testimonial. And it's the man who was blind that Jesus healed, the blind man in John chapter 9. And here he is all of a sudden on trial for his faith. And I love what he did. He didn't want to reason or give a bunch of logic or confront. He just did what was natural to him. He said, look, here's what I know. I used to be blind. Now I can see. Deal with it. Right? What, are you going to argue with my experience? You know God healed me, and Jesus did it, and you ought to look into him as well. By the way, this is really Lee Strobel's main style. Look, I used to be an atheist, a newspaper reporter. I was skeptical. Now I've been changed and I know what's true. Deal with it. It's a powerful approach. And some of you, many of you, can use your stories in the same way. The third example is Matthew, the tax collector. I love what he did. Because, you know, he's thinking, you know, I can't do what those other guys do. How can I reach my friends? All I know how to do is throw a good party. And then he said, wait a minute. I'll throw a different kind of a party with a purpose. Luke 5:29 says that he invited his tax collecting buddies along with Jesus and the disciples. And it was an interpersonal approach to evangelism. It deepened relationships. And God uses that. And a lot of you can throw good parties and have people over for a meal and get together and warm it up and then share in an interpersonal way. And that's a powerful approach. The fifth example is the Samaritan woman. This is John chapter 4. Jesus comes in, you know, he draws the water, talks about living water, has her draw the water, starts sharing with her, tells her he's the Messiah, and then she runs up the hill to her town in Samaria and grabs everyone she knows, and if you know the story, she knew pretty much everyone. And she grabs them and she brings them down. She says, there's a seeker service happening down at the well. Jesus is speaking this week. Come on down. And they all come. And a bunch of those people, her friends from Samaria, become Christians. And history tells us that's how the church in Samaria began, was through her invitational approach. Some of you have that style. And I just want to say, all of you can use that one. The sixth example was a woman named Tabitha, Acts chapter 9. She made articles of clothing as acts of loving service done in the name of Christ, kind of a first century Mother Teresa. And she just loved and served people in ways that made people look to heaven and say, there must be a God to express love like he does through her. And God used that serving to reach people. In fact, it was so important that when that woman died, Dorcas or Tabitha as she was called, when she died, God sent an apostle to pray over her and raise her back to life and put her back into service. So you see, there are advantages to having this style. It's a pretty cool deal. And some of you have that approach. And through your acts of service, God uses you to pull people toward the Savior. Well, let me just sum this up and say, you know, one shape does not fit all. And if you could just relax and find your own shape and learn to communicate your faith to family and friends in a way that fits you, there's no telling how God would use it. And let me just sum it up with a story real quick. A friend of mine named Julie. She's really my hero in evangelism, more than some of the famous names that you can think of, Billy Graham or Greg Laurie. I love those guys. But Julie, one of the quietest, shyest, most introverted people I've ever met. And when she first asked me how to share her faith and how she could reach her husband, you know, I would tell her, and she was so shy, she'd barely look me in the eye, and then she'd just look down and take notes. But I kept sharing, you know, trying to encourage her, trying to coach her, and she got bolder. She found her shape. She found that she was the interpersonal style, and she began to reach out in natural ways to her husband and family, and it wasn't too long before her husband came to Christ, and then her two teenage daughters made commitments, and then some of her nephews and neighbors. And get this, in 1 year, quiet and shy and introverted Julie, in 1 year, helped lead 16 people to become followers of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? And I just want to tell you, I just want to say, if God can use Julie, he can use you to make an eternal impact on the people around you. If you'll discover your shape and work through the design God gave you, he'll use you beyond your imagination. So go for it. God bless.
Great. Thanks, buddy.
So how do you start using the gifts that God put inside of you? Four things. Write them down real quick. Number one, you got to discover them. You got to know what they are before you can use them. You got to stop neglecting the fact that inside of you are some dormant gifts that you're not even using. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the spiritual gift that is inside you, that's in you. You got to figure out what God has put in you. Now, how do you discover your spiritual gifts? Three things. You examine, evaluate, and experiment. Examine, evaluate, and experiment. This is how you decide and discover what you're good at. First, you examine. That means you study spiritual gifts. We're going to do that during this next 5-6 weeks on Shape. If you're not in a small group, you need to get in a small group because this material is not being shared on Sunday morning. It's material on how to understand your shape. There's curriculum and Bible study. You need to get in a small group. The second thing you do is you evaluate what you're good at. And here's how you do that. You ask other people, what do you think I'm good at? Yeah, ask other people. What do you think I'm good at? Because other people will recognize your giftedness before you do. There are certain things you do well, you don't even know you're good at them because you think you're natural. You think it's naturally that everybody thinks that way, acts that way, feels that way. They don't. Other people will recognize your spiritual gifts before you do. It is in their affirmation that you learn your spiritual gifts. I could have gone 100 years of my life and never known that I was gifted at teaching because I'd never done it. And I had to go out and I had to, the only way I could do this, evaluate. And when one time, years and years ago, I was invited to speak at my small group. And there were like 5-6 people in the room, and we sat in the room, and I spoke when I was through. They said, that was pretty good, Rick. And then later I got invited again to speak to our small group, to lead the group. And I go, hey, that was good. That helped me. And then a little while later, I got invited to speak to about 15 guys. And this little, we were going on this backpacking thing, camping thing together, and I spoke to them, and people started saying, you know, Rick, when you speak, God blesses it. Now, I would have never known that I had the spiritual gift of teaching because I had never done it. If you're not involved in anything, you don't know what you're good at because you've never tried it. And so you evaluate and you say, what has God blessed in my life? What do other people say God blesses? What do I feel good at when I do it? And I'm good at it when I do it. Now, as I said, if you're not involved in anything, you're not going to know. That's why the third thing is experiment. You just have to go out and try stuff. I don't think you're ever going to learn your spiritual gift just by taking a test. There are all kinds of tests you can go out there and take. Actually, I took one when I was a teenager on trying to discover what my giftedness was. Spiritual gift. And the only thing the test came up with is that I had the gift of martyrdom. Oh, great. Martyrdom. That's the gift you get to use one time in your life and it's over. Okay? And you only get to use your spiritual gift the last second of your life. The only thing that came up with is I was willing to die for my faith. Okay, big deal. It wasn't until I started trying stuff. And so you go ahead and you just, now there's no better place to do this than Saddleback. There are literally thousands of ministries you can get involved in. And just try different things. You go, oh, that's not me, that's not me. Oh, I really like doing that. And I'm good at it. And then you know where you're gifted. You know, when I first started feeling that God was calling me to serve him full time, I actually started out not as a pastor, a preacher. I started out leading worship. Yeah, I was this skinny guy with long hair and guitar. Because I led worship in probably, about 50 churches. Oh, different places, you know, on one shot here, one shot there. And I love to sing. I really have a heart for singing. The only problem was nobody liked to hear me. Now, if you got a heart for something and you think you're good at it, but nobody else thinks you're good at it, it's not your gift. Okay? Okay. Just be honest and realize you're not gifted at that. And if 3 people tell you you're a duck, you're a duck. Okay? Doesn't matter how good you think you are, that's not your gift. And so you just need to be brutally honest, have a sane evaluation, not less of yourself, not more of yourself. Just this is what God wired me to be. And so you evaluate, you examine, you experiment, and you try all different kinds of things. Some of you are sitting here going, I'm waiting for God to tell me what he wants me to do with my life. It ain't gonna happen. You cannot steer a parked car. Write that one down. You know, our brilliant pastor said, you cannot steer a parked car. No, you got to be moving. And if you're moving, God can steer you. So just get out there. Volunteer for something, anything. Just start using your life to help other people. And God will steer you in the right direction. Just don't wait, because it's not going to fall on you like that. So you discover them. The second thing you do is you dedicate them. You dedicate your gifts back to God. The Bible says this in Romans 6. Give yourselves completely to God. Since you've been given new life, in other words, he gave you all these gifts, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Now, some of you, you already know what you're good at. It's no big surprise. You know what you're good at. You're just not using it for the Lord. You're using it for yourself. And what you need to do is, once you know what you're good at, you need to dedicate it to God. God, I'm good at this. I'm dedicating it to you. God, I'm good at that. I'm dedicating that to you. And the reason why you're not using it for God is you're too busy, or you're lazy, or you're making excuses, or you have a fear of failure. Push all those excuses out of the way and just say, God, I dedicate what you gave to me back to you. Third thing you do is you develop your gifts. You discover them, and then you dedicate them, and then you develop them. Now, gifts are like muscles. The more you use it, the bigger it gets, and the more it develops. And you can strengthen and develop, and you can grow what God has given you. Any gift that God gives you can and should be developed. And you have a gift of teaching. No gift comes fully developed. It comes into your life in a certain way. And the more you use it like a muscle, the more it develops. You get better at it and better at it and better at it. How? By practice, by learning, by studying, by learning from other people who have the same gift. And as you practice it, you get better and better. Let me give you a little secret. I've learned this personally. When God gives you something, if you use it well, he gives you more of it. More talent, more money, more fame, more relationships, more responsibility. When you use what God gives you and you use it well, he says, I could trust that person. I'm going to give you more and more and more. Discover, dedicate, develop. The fourth thing you do is you deploy. You deploy your spiritual gifts. Now, you know what deploy is. We live near Pendleton. Guys are being deployed all the time to Iraq and everywhere else. It means you put it into service. You get out onto the field and you actually start doing something. Romans 12 says this, verse 6. We are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. For instance, if our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. Now, what's the best place to practice and develop and deploy and dedicate and discover your gifts? In a small group. In a small group. It's the safest place. It's the testing ground. It's where I got started. It's where you need to get started. Now, do you see how brilliant this plan is that God thought up? God's plan for the church is, here's what I'll do. I'll give every single person in the church a different gift. And then everybody has a place. Everybody has a role. Everybody gets involved. Everybody can contribute. And everybody gets rewarded. Not just the pastor or somebody else. Imagine what would happen. If everybody in our church, I mean, we had no spectators. What if we had no spectators in our church? Looky-loos. What if we had everybody said, I know my gift and I'm using my gift. What kind of power, what kind of impact would we have on this world? We would be unstoppable. Unstoppable. If everybody discovered, dedicated, developed, and deployed their gifts. Now let's close with this. Let's review. Turn it back over, and on the front side, look at these four gifts again that God's given you. The gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life, the gift of his spirit, and the gift of special abilities. He gives those to you the moment you step across the line. Which of these gifts are still unwrapped by you? Which of these gifts do you need to unwrap? If you had bought an expensive gift for a friend and you took it over to them and a year later you went over to their house and they hadn't even bothered to unwrap it, you'd be hurt. In fact, you'd be offended. God has put some gifts in your life and he says, I want you to unwrap each of these. And he says, when you accept my greatest gift, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He said, you get all these other gifts. And there's not a better time to receive than right now. Let's bow our heads. Would you pray this prayer? Dear God, today I accept your free gift of forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving everything I've ever done wrong. I'm putting my trust in your grace. Dear God, today I accept your free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And because of what he did for me, I know I can't earn my way to heaven. Dear God, I accept the free gift of your Spirit into my life. Live through me and fill me with your love and joy and peace and patience. And God, I accept the gift of special abilities that you've put in my life. Help me to develop them, to discover them, to dedicate them, and to use them to be the person you made me to be. If you've never invited Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, today I invite you into my life and I accept your gifts. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle and listen online anytime. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, do you know someone who's graduating this year? Maybe it's your son or daughter, a grandchild, or perhaps a neighbor or family friend. As you celebrate this important milestone and they begin the next phase of their journey, they need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their life. That's why Pastor Rick created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life: Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate. Filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Pastor Rick, and beautiful imagery, this unique hardcover gift book provides a priceless reminder of the bountiful life God has planned for your graduate, and it will inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. Don't miss this opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. We'll send you a copy to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world. You can go to PastorRick.com. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. There are only 3 days left to get this powerful resource, so don't wait. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today, I want to share with you a note I got in the mail from Alyssa. She wrote, Hi, Pastor Rick. I'm a 33-year-old living in Jamestown, North Dakota, and I'm married with 3 kids. I just want to thank you so much for your Daily Hope broadcast. I listen to them regularly, and I've learned so much. You know, I realized very quickly that I needed to have a notebook journal available to write down all the notes as I listened to you. I love the convenience that the podcasts have, and I turn them on as I'm getting ready in the morning while I'm cooking or I'm in the car traveling, and even when I'm working out, which is great. I've also been sharing them with several people. I often think of specific people that I want to share your podcast with after I've heard your message. I don't know if they've listened to them or not after I've shared them, but I do know that one of my friends has been regularly listening to you now. And I ran into her at the park when she was jogging, and when she stopped to say hi, I could hear your voice in her earbuds. That's great. She's been struggling with a verbally abusive relationship for many years, and I know that your Daily Hope has helped her. Rick, God has really used you to reach so many people, and I thank you for being obedient to Him and His calling to you. I will continue to pray for you. Thank you for impacting my life. Alyssa. Well, Alyssa, thank you for sending this message. You know, we live to hear these stories, and I'm so glad to hear how God is using Daily Hope, not only in your life, but in the life of your friends, because you've cared enough to pass it on. So thanks for sharing that podcast with others. I know you're being a blessing to them. And I want to say to the rest of you, have you shared the news of Daily Hope with anybody? Would you find one person today and recommend that they start listening to Daily Hope, either on the radio or on a podcast or getting the daily devotional through the email? We are here to help you fulfill your mission in sharing Christ with other people. So tell one person today about Daily Hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.